Okay, Christian counseling here. So we're trying to just finish this out and look at the biblical order for counseling here. So individuals, what should an individual do? Well, the first thing is go to God for every problem. Let's look at Matthew 11, 28. You know, it's so easy in life to just look to man or man-made things. Like if I get a headache, it's so easy to think, oh, I need a Tylenol or I need an aspirin or something. But we should always go to God first. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto who? To me, to the Lord. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the reason why a lot of people want counseling is because they're heavy laden about something. They're troubled. They're not having rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So many times we look to people instead of to the Lord first. We should all, and we've looked at examples of this in the class, but we should always go to the Lord first. Then in John 15, John chapter 15 and verse 5. John 15, 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. So we need to come to him first with a problem. Then Jeremiah 33, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. The Bible says, come or call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So he wants us to call him first. And so that's what we have to remind people of that. We need reminders ourselves of that. It's like, oh, something's wrong with my car. I got to call Brother Jim. Well, even before calling Brother Jim, I should call on the Lord. I should ask the Lord, Lord, please help me in this. But it's just what we think of as kind of innocent ways. We just get so used to calling on people here instead of the Lord first. Then Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. The Lord says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, will help thee, yea, will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So maybe Brother Jim is not there, but the Lord is. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. James 1. And verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Excuse me. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask what? Of God. You know, it's kind of interesting. How many people ask Google before they ask God? You know, it's just, it's like G-O, but then G, Gog, and Magog, instead of God, G-O-D. But so many people have a question. Oh, let me Google that. It's kind of like Santa Claus and Christmas, you know, it's like, they look to Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus knows if you've been naughty or nice. I thought only God knew that. Santa Claus can cover the whole world, be in every home in one evening, Christmas Eve. I thought only God could be everywhere at once. Santa, you change the A, N around and it's Satan. All you have to do is move the N. So many things. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we should go to the Lord. And then Proverbs 19:21, one of the memory verses there. 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Matthew 6:33. Another verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we need to seek him first. And then in Philippians 4, I'm kind of rushing through these because trying to finish this out. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in what? Everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let what? Your request be made known unto who? God. There's just so many things. We know so many verses that we don't put into practice like we should. Here's one. Be careful for nothing. So listen, if I find myself getting frustrated, well, that should be a warning light here. Let's be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Oh, I got to get on the phone. I got to ask somebody this question. I don't know what to do. But it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So much in the area of counseling. It's just back to the simple things about we need to go to the Lord first. I think I told you this before, but when we were down in Chattanooga and the pastor told about that, so many times students came to him when they had financial trouble. Down there, in a semester, if you did not have your bill paid up, you could not take the final exam. So after all that work, if you didn't have the money to make sure the class was paid for, you just wasted all that work because you could not take the final exam. So he'd have students coming to him, asking him for money then so they could take the final exam. And the first question he would ask them many times is, have you asked the Lord about this? And often it was, no. I think you're missing a step here. It's just something we have to remind people of. Have you asked the Lord? You know, they come asking you a question. Have you asked the Lord about this? They come with a need. Have you asked the Lord about this need? It's just, so many times people, they just don't go to the Lord. They run to everybody else first. So that's one thing we need to help them to see. Go to the Lord first. Okay, then what about men? Where should they get counsel? Let's go to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14. And, well, these are longer passages, but we'll see here how it goes. Verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathath at Maresha. And Asa cried unto who? The Lord, his God. And said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we what? Rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So Asa looked to the Lord for help. But later on in his life, notice in 2 Chronicles 16, 2 Chronicles 16, he started out a good king. Second Chronicles 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of what? The house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to who? Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So instead of going to the Lord against an innumerable host, now against his own brother, the northern tribes of Israel, he takes, in verse 2 there, he brings silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He would go take God's money out of the temple, out of God's house, and give to a heathen king for help. Instead of going to that same temple and praying, asking for God's help. I mean, that would be like us, say there's a windstorm and the shingles all blew off the roof, and we didn't have the money to buy new shingles. And so instead of asking the Lord, Lord, you know, we don't have the money to buy new shingles. Could you help us? Instead of asking the Lord first, we say, hey, we got a piano. That piano's not going to be any good if the roof leaks. So let's sell the piano and get shingles on the roof. Wouldn't it have been smarter to pray first and ask the Lord for help? Yeah. So Asa does just the opposite, and things don't turn out well for Asa. He gets rebuked from the Lord here in verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst what? Rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And then notice what he does. Then Asa was wroth with who? The seer. He wasn't like David being confronted with his sin and admitting it. He's angry with the seer. He's angry with the prophet. And put him in a prison house. For he was what? In a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa then did what? Oppress some of the people at the same time. You see, when we're away from God, we oppress other people too. He's angry at the prophet. He's angry at God. Now he's oppressing innocent people. Verse 11, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, though they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he what? Sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. So, the first time he goes out against a huge host, he goes out with confidence and leads the people to trust the Lord. And God smites the Ethiopians. This time he places his trust in man, and God has to rebuke him. And now, I mean, he's a bitter man. He won't even go to God for his physical needs now. So he dies. He just goes to the doctors. He ignores God. So we need to lead people to go to the Lord first. Always. And we need to do that always. So men should go to God for counsel. And secondly, men should use caution in getting counsel from other men. In 1 Samuel 24, 1, 1 Samuel 24, 1. In this chapter, Saul has come out to seek David to kill him. And in verse 3, and it came to the sheepcotes by the way where it was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So his men's counsel was, hey, David, kill him. God said he'd deliver your enemies into your hand. Get rid of them. So we have to be careful about following the advice of people. Okay. Let's jump then. So with men, obviously go to God first and then be cautious. Actually, let me go one other one before we leave there. Acts 21. Acts 21. Where the Apostle Paul, there was an occasion here where he shouldn't have listened to people. Acts 21:15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. Okay, here's some counsel, Paul. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Now here's the justification. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Saint Paul, we have some counsel for you. These people have heard that you're teaching all the way throughout Europe about, that people need to forsake the law of Moses. Well, Paul, you know that we had this conversation with you before about, you know, the Gentiles don't have to keep the law. But, you know, the Jews, you know, really should continue to keep the law. And so, verse 26, then Paul took the men and the next day, purifying himself with them. Oh, so he putting himself back under those old purification laws, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of what? The days of purification. This was hypocrisy. He hadn't been with these men during this time, signifying a certain number of days of purification. He was just like entering into it suddenly, putting on like, oh yeah, yep, I'm with you. So we're going to do this. Verse 26, next day we're going to purify ourselves and signify the accomplishment of these days of purification. I mean, it's like he just cut into the middle of it. And then it says, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Ooh, Paul. When Jesus died on the cross, it is finished. You shouldn't be still offering these animal sacrifices. That's over. Verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. See, they saw him in the temple. That's what really got them. Crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. So by Paul was compromising. He knew better than to get all this purification. He had been purified by Christ. He did not need to do these Old Testament rituals. He did not need to take part in offering animal sacrifices. So in verse 30, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came into the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So Paul was warned twice on the way back to Jerusalem not to go, and he wouldn't listen. And so when he gets there, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, you know, I was warned not to come here. And now the disciples are telling me, you know, well, you know, we've instructed the Gentiles. They don't have to do this. But, you know, as Jews, we should still, you know, keep these things of the law. We know they don't save us, but we should still be doing this. That was compromise, and that's what got him into trouble, being in the temple. They supposed he'd brought the Ephesian in the temple. So we have to be so careful. Counsel. We need to go to the Lord first and then be cautious about what people suggest. Make sure we take that before the Lord too. Okay, so that's men. Because of time, we're going to have to move on here. Okay, what about women? What should women do for counsel? Well, Genesis 25:20. Well, it's the same thing. Whether men or women, we should all go to God first. And we see here a good example of that with Rebecca. Genesis 25 and verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebecca to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to what? Inquire of the Lord. That was the right thing to do. She's feeling, you know what? To me, it seems like there's too much movement here for one baby in the womb. It seems like there's more than one. And so she asked the Lord, And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Okay, so she went to the Lord. That was the right thing to do. Okay. Then in 1 Samuel 1, another example here, a good example of a woman bringing something before the Lord. And let's see. So we have Elkanah and his two wives, and let's pick up verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto who? The Lord, and wept sore. So she took this need to the Lord, and the Lord ended up granting her request. Okay. So women should go to the Lord for counsel, just like men should go to the Lord. Another thing, if a woman is married, 1 Corinthians 14:34. The Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask who? Their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So many times women say, but my husband wouldn't know this answer. And sadly, it too often is true. Many times the wife is more spiritual than the husband. Many times it's because the husband, you know, may work a lot of hours. And so the fact of the matter is many times, sadly, wives are in their Bibles more than the husbands. And because of that, a lot of times, wives do not have confidence to go to their husbands and ask them a question, because they've learned by experience that he doesn't know. He doesn't know the answer. And so, you know, I try to encourage people like that, but if you will go ask him, then he has the opportunity to search for the answer. And that will encourage him. When Sandy and I first got married, I readily admit she knew the Bible much better than I did. And I'd been raised in church. I mean, what more is there to know that Noah built the ark, not Moses? Although Moses did build an ark, but different type. And there's just so, you know, I knew a few stories, but I knew so little, and I just quickly learned that she was much more knowledgeable in the Word of God than I was. You know, we get conversations, and she would know the Scripture, and I didn't. And so it made me dig in the Bible. And so I just try to encourage, you know, women, you know, still go to him and give him time. You know, if you have a question, don't say, you know, I've got this question. Oh, you don't know the answer? Well, then I'm going to someone else. No, give him the question and give him time to find the answer. And so that's a woman should go to God for counsel. If she's married, should go to her husband for counsel, for answers. But if counsel conflicts with God, you have to humbly take a stand like Abigail did. Our time is about out, but let me just give you the reference. 1 Samuel 25, and you recall the story. Nabal would not feed David. And the servant comes to Abigail and says, our master wouldn't feed David, and you know what? Bad things are going to happen. And so Abigail goes and feeds David. And she comes back, and she's going to tell Nabal, her husband, what she has done that night, but he's too drunk. So she wisely does not tell him. She waits till morning when the wine has gone out of him. And then God protected Abigail. God is the one that smote Nabal, and 10 days later, he died. So if a husband's counsel conflicts with God's counsel, a woman has to be humble and cautious. You don't get into a situation where you got a Nabal who's going to beat you up. You don't want to get into a situation like that. But you can trust God. And then in Acts chapter 5, Sapphira gets in trouble. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, can you imagine that? Ananias falls down dead, and they just take him out and bury him and don't even contact his wife. Can you imagine that? Well, today you'd get in big trouble. Someone drops dead and you just go out and bury him. You don't call the police. You don't call the next of kin. Well, it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed, together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And then she died as well. So there are some people that teach that, a wife has to obey her husband in everything, even if it means disobeying the Lord. But we do not have that example from Scripture. I don't know whose idea it was about the finances here, but they agreed together to do this deception. And so they both died. So we're all responsible to the Lord, ultimately. So if someone asks us to do wrong, it's like people have said, and there's been books written about this, but it's like, okay, if a woman is saved and her husband asks her to go into the bar and drink with him, should she? Oh, no, you can't do that. There's a way to humbly, appeal, but no, she can't do that. But there are people that wrongly teach that. So, we're out of time, but children, it's the same thing with children. Children should go to God first for counsel. Then secondly, they should go to their parents. And then there's a section dealing with friends. That's how Amnon got into big trouble, listening to his friend, his cousin, give him bad advice in regard to Tamar. So friends have to be very careful where they get their counsel. But anyway, we're out of time. So any questions, comments? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could spend together in your word. And Lord, we want to help people. We want to give them the right counsel. And Lord, help us. Sometimes in the flesh, we may just want to give people answers when, in fact, we should be asking them, have you gone to the Lord about this first? Have you asked him? And Lord, we don't want people to be dependent upon us. We want them to be dependent upon you, because that's what we need to be. We need to be dependent upon you. And you are the only one that is always with each of us. So we need to be reliant upon you. We need to be able to trust you. So Lord, I pray that these few thoughts we've been able to look at during these times of classes that would help us, Lord, as we try to seek to be good counsel and help to people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.